If you're reading this, you probably know me as one of the science presenters for Mythbusters. Hate to break it to you, I'm not a scientist. Yep, that's right. Don't even have a background in science. No college degree in biology or PhD in physics. No late nights in the library memorizing organic chemistry. No internships in a lab coat. In fact, the only times I've ever worn a lab coat were for photo shoots when my co-hosts and I were gritting our teeth trying not to roll our eyes. If you've seen Mythbusters or any of the other shows I've hosted, this might surprise you. In fact, I've made a living from science entertainment and, best known for my contributions to the field, even hosted the White House Science Fair and have inspired thousands of girls to become scientists themselves. Or so they tell me via social media and at conferences. One of the most gratifying things about being on Mythbusters has been talking with teachers and reading articles that say how our show changed the way science is taught throughout the country and abroad. Educators play our shows in their classrooms. Parents rely on it for homeschooling. Kids recreate our experiments in their labs. They've used our methods as a jumping-off point to come up with their own myths to bust. When I was growing up, I hated my formal textbooky science class. Too much memorization, not enough inspiration. Now kids look forward to getting their hands dirty and using their imaginations in a less formal setting, thanks to the influence of our show. We had no idea the sea change in education was going on while we were at the shop, working elbow deep in grease and grime. We were just regular people, having fun and blowing stuff up. We didn't expect such amazing side effects, and we sure didn't expect to become a pop culture phenomenon. It all came as a pleasant surprise, especially for me. For many years, I was the only female host in science TV. At network parties, I would be the lone woman in sight. Now there are many more of us, on the air and in the room. I never set out to change things for teachers, parents, or other women in the field. But the status quo has changed, and I'm humbled and happy to have been a part of that. So, how do non-scientists like me end up with science expert as a job title? As it turns out, you don't need to wear a lab coat to be a science geek. You don't need a PhD to be fiercely curious. You don't need an engineering degree to figure out what happens when you put Mentos in a Coke bottle. Spoiler alert, it explodes. Let's throw out the old idea of what a scientist is. Say the word, and you might picture an old gray-haired white man with glasses and a beaker filled with some mysterious substance. I was the opposite of that when I joined the show. A 27-year-old woman with an art degree and flaming red hair, tattoos, and body piercings. I was always taught that art and science were mutually exclusive. There are the artsy types, me, and nerds, them. And I fell 100% on one side of that line. But after a season of the show, I straddled it. Art and science are both creative processes, about using the tools at hand, being struck with bright ideas, and getting your hands dirty. By living as a scientist, I saw how adding an artist's sensibility to science and vice versa lifted them both. I started thinking of myself as something else, an experimenter. Our experiments weren't dry and precise, like measuring how much liquid to pour into a test tube. We were messy and bold. We were just winging a lot of the time. And while I may not be a scientist in the typical definition of the term, I do have a forklift license, keep duct tape in my purse, know how to blow up, cut in half, light on fire basically anything you put in front of me, and have been conducting experiments professionally for 15 years. As a co-host on Mythbusters, I wound up getting a world-class science education while conducting tests in order to prove, or disprove, all kinds of urban legends. As our host Adam Savage used to say, helping settle bar bets professionally. Just as none of the hosts held degrees in science or were experts in those fields, the show was not originally intended to be a science show. But since we had to use engineering, chemistry, biology, statistics, physics, and math to, say, build a rig to split a car in half, we were thought of as a de facto science show after all. Our objective was never to teach or preach to viewers about the importance of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We were just having fun, learning along with the audience about how things worked. To do so, we employed the scientific method, the perfect narrative vehicle for proving and disproving myths. If you're not familiar with this elegant process for, well, figuring shit out, here are five simple steps.